Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I've returned to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Things are happening. Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our alpha and omega. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is
Time Pop.
It's been so long, Ari. It's been 5 minutes, took a nice little break from our last recording. I'm glad we're just glad we're here. I'm still glad we're here.
Yeah.
An hour later, this is great. Doubling up today. And this is, I think this one's going to be, you know, as always, we find stuff to talk about. But, you know, as endless loop movies go, it makes it a little bit easier to sum up. So we watched Edge of Tomorrow, or if you prefer, Live, Die, Repeat, released June 6, 2014. 113 minutes, rated PG-13, directed by Doug Liman, who did Swingers and Bourne Identity. So he's all over the place. Written based on a novel called All You Need Is Kill by Hiroshi. I'm not even going to try that. I don't want to butcher. I think it's, I don't know what's more rude, to just skip it.
Or butcher it. Yeah.
So I think I already butchered it. It's Hiroshi. All You Need Is Kill. And, you know, that was the book. And then there's a couple writers on it. But one of the writers I was looking up all the writers, Christopher McQuarrie, who basically, from what I can tell, is Tom Cruise's right-hand man. And he just Tom Cruise-ifies whatever movie he happens to be on recently. So, starring Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt, the late, great Bill Paxton, Brendan Gleeson, Noah Taylor, a nice, tight 90% between critics and audience. So, everyone loved this movie. What do I want? A couple of fun facts here. So I think it's interesting. They started filming this movie without an ending. As far as the script goes, of course, I'm sure the book had a nice ending, but the screenplay, they hadn't quite figured it out yet. So they started filming while they were banging that out. Liman opted to finish the script during principal photography. McQuarrie at one point suggested adding a twist involving the mimics figuring out Cage's attack on Paris and resetting the time during his strike, which would have made this a very long movie. And he actually says here he discarded it because you were so exhausted by that time you got to that point. And I thought this was interesting. On the research I did, I found the word humor and comedy come up a lot. I was like, am I researching the wrong movie? Is there an Edge of Tomorrow that's a comedy? And then after I did some research before I watched, I laughed out loud a lot at this movie, like a shocking amount. And I think they knew, because of all the death that was going to happen, we're going to have to see, you know, our stars die a lot. They knew they were going to have to lighten it up and make them understand that. Tom Cruise said, you know, with all these deaths and trying to lighten it up a little bit and knowing you're going to some days dying, you know that you're going to have to reset this and try again. Imagine Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner as you're writing this, which I think is great that they knew that even while they were writing, that they're going to have some fun with what could be. You know, we love these kind of movies, so we're in for the ride. But for a lot of movie watchers, this could be an extremely dark movie to watch. Ari, opening thoughts? You want to jump in your overview?
Opening thoughts for me would be, when I first saw this movie, I knew nothing about it. I hadn't even seen a trailer. And the title tells you nothing. The Edge of Tomorrow, you have no idea what it's about. So I remember the first time it resets in the movie, I literally went, really? It's going to be one of those movies. And really? I was so turned off by it. And I was like, great. It's going to be one of those movies. I wasn't in that mindset. I wasn't ready for that. And then you keep going. And then shortly after that, you're like, oh, this is really good. Like they did it well.
Yeah.
And turned out to really like the movie. So.
Well, and like you said, Edge of Tomorrow has, you know, nothing to do with it. I think it's mostly interesting that they rebranded this movie as Live, Die, Repeat, just because I'm surprised more movies don't do that. I just...
Don't do what?
Rebrand a movie or retitle a movie or... because, yeah, this when this came out, it was Edge of Tomorrow. It had an okay opening weekend, and then... it wasn't getting great reviews. And so then they didn't change the title of the movie, but they put the title in small print at the bottom of the poster and then Live, Die, Repeat in giant letters. And then later on was officially, you know, once the DVD came out, I think it was called Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat. And then I think there are a lot of people now who just call it Live, Die, Repeat. And it just, it's, I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of moviegoers that are just like, oh, that sounds interesting and go. And that's it. And I feel like you could add, like I was thinking about it last night, I was like, you could call any movie you wanted to Must Love Dogs 2 and probably get another $1 million just from people going, oh, I love that. I love that movie. And, yeah. You know, they wouldn't care. You know, it could be a Fast and Furious movie. But if you rebranded it Must Love Dogs 2, you could get a boost in viewing. So yeah. I only find it odd that more movies don't do it. And it's interesting that this movie had, you know, I don't know, the guts or the fear, what came first to kind of switch on a dime.
Yeah.
And keep going.
I wonder if it was originally called Live, Die, Repeat, if I would have been into it or who knows. Because when I first watched this, I remember thinking, oh, this is just like a video game.
Yeah.
It's exactly like a video game. And I don't play video games. And those kind of video games, especially the run around shoot people, I just have zero interest in it. So
yeah. It's kind of like, and you won't know this, but it's kind of what's referred to as a roguelike. There's a whole type of video game out there where the point is to die. Like you, and you just keep every time you go through. And then when you reset, most games, when you die, you reset with a clean slate. But in roguelikes, you reset and you get to keep some of your armor, some of your weapons, some of your information.
Yeah. And those games are really popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of them that I really like that. But yeah, it's kind of interesting to, you know, you're just going to throw yourself at it. And every time you're going to get a little bit farther. And that's what this does. Every day it gets a little bit farther. But I think they stayed away from Live, Die, Repeat because they stayed away from the original novel title, All You Need Is Kill, because of Kill. They're like, I don't know if we really want to lead with Kill. And so even Live, Die, Repeat was like, eh, you know, but then they knew they had to do something to get people. Because, yeah, Edge of Tomorrow, you're just like...
It's super vague.
I guess. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it doesn't tell you anything about what you might be into. What's this movie about, Ari?
I will tell you what it's
yes!
about, Desi.
Yes, I knew you would. I knew you were the person for the job.
So this movie is about a guy named Tom Cruise.
He should just be Tom in all of his movies.
He should. No, his real name is...
William Cage.
Cage. I think they all call him Cage.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think
so. And he's a military guy, and this is set in the future. And aliens have invaded Earth, and we call them Mimics. And we are at war with them. I say we because we are clearly part of this movie.
They are at war with us. We're just trying to survive.
Right, right. Yes. And we are losing. We are losing this war. They are a very powerful alien. And Cage, Tom Cruise, is not a fighter dude military guy. He's like a PR guy for the military. And he gets sent to a place. And they're basically like, you have to fight. And he's like, I don't wanna.
Meh.
Yeah. And he's forced to fight with, he's like demoted to like be a private. And he's,
yeah, like he's knocked down to the bottom, like a new recruit. Yeah. Is what everyone thinks
he's assigned to J Squad. And he goes out on his very first war day.
Well, it's a big invasion. Like, it's not just another day. Like, this is.
It's a big fight.
Yeah, and they need to, as Will so gleefully pointed out, this is a complete mimicry of D-Day. Like, even, yeah. Like, the, you know, obviously they're storming a beach, but then also, I didn't even write it down because it didn't stand out, but what they call it was actually one of the code names they used.
Yeah, it's like it's Normandy. A big attack day. It's a big battle day.
They got to keep them, if they get across this next border, then we're surely in for defeat. So this is the line we've got to
draw. They got to hold the line.
Yeah.
From the enemy. So he goes out with his squad and it all goes to shit pretty quickly. And he comes across one of the mimics and he ends up blowing it up with like a bomb.
He's
or
got
a
claymore. He's got a landmine.
And it's a bigger
it's an
mimic.
Alpha.
Yeah, it's a bigger mimic than the rest. It's an alpha, which we don't know at the time. But and it blows him up, and Tom Cruise is covered in his blue blood, and he like melts away and dies. And then he wakes up, and it's the very same morning of when he got there. So when he got there, I think he tried to like leave and they knocked him out, and then he wakes up and that starts the first day. So anyway, he wakes up again at that moment
on
the
base.
On the base.
He's having the meeting. Yeah, we won't get into that. And it basically, I think it's 24 hours. They don't say that, but I feel like he gets there morning-ish.
Yeah.
And then the invasion is the next day, morning-ish. And then so when he dies.
So he quickly finds out that everything is repeating exactly the same way it was before he went out on this big fight. And he's like, holy shit, I gotta warn everybody. The invasion is not a success. What do I do? He can't stop it. He goes out again and dies again.
Yes, he definitely does. I was trying to see if he... Oh, yeah. So on day two, he runs into...
Hero Lady?
Is it day two or day three that he runs into her? I think it's day two.
Okay, well, he eventually runs into Hero Lady, as I'm going to call her.
Full Metal Bitch.
Yes. And she's played by...
Emily Blunt.
That lady. And she is a quote-unquote hero because some other battle in the past of this war, she killed like a lot of mimics.
She won it.
She won the battle. She was amazing. And they kind of equated it to her, but also to this like armor suit thing that they wear. And she's like the hero of that battle. And they have like posters of her. So I call her Hero Lady. So
she's the recruiter of this war now. She's the Uncle Sam, your military needs you.
So a few of these loops keep happening. So he goes out and tries to fight and dies and starts over, and he tries a different way and he dies. And that's part of the humor in it. Like, you know, some of the characters are funny and they die, and he tries this thing and it still doesn't work. And he tries this other thing and it still doesn't work. It like resets a few times.
They let you know fairly quickly that death isn't permanent in this world. So we're going to kind of have some, well, and all these other people apparently come back too,
reset,
because
yeah.
they're in theory in his loop as well.
Just like a video game.
Who knows? Yeah. If there are multiple timelines, then there's most of them are bad, bad places. But in Timeline Alpha, Tom's timeline, death is not permanent.
Right. So he comes across Hero Lady and she soon realizes that he is looping. And
well, she notices it. I think it's day two.
Is it? She notices it?
Day three tops that, because she can just tell, because she's, we'll get to it, because she has prior knowledge of this situation,
okay.
that he's, as soon as she sees him outguessing like two scenarios, she keys in on it very quickly.
So she says, come find me on your next loop. He does. She takes him to a scientist that then, like an underground scientist, that then explains the mimics and explains the physiology of the mimics and explains that there's an omega and an alpha in this creature. And if alpha is killed, then the omega resets for that day. So this is kind of like their superpower. This alien has the ability to reset time, to go back, to remember everything that happened, go back and do it again to ensure that they will win that battle or whatever. So when Cage killed one of the omegas,
alphas,
sorry, killed an alpha and got the thing.
The Omega is the main brain. There's one Omega, many alphas, and millions of whatever's below the alpha. I don't know if it's if it's betas.
Okay.
Because you can kill a beta and those are just cannon fodder.
Okay. So by killing an alpha, he was able to get the same power as the Omega.
Not only does he get the same power, he gets the power. I didn't realize that until this watch. I've seen this movie a couple times, but now it only resets to Cage's death. Prior to that, it resets to any alpha death.
So when he acquires this power, none of the other Omegas can reset the day? Is that what you're saying?
The day resets only on Tom's death. Before that, the day would reset. Omega would reset the day at the death of any alpha.
Yeah.
But when the alpha bled on Cage, now the day only resets. Because if it was resetting on Tom and alphas, then they would be in an endless chess match.
I see.
Because
okay.
Then when it reset on an alpha death, then they'd be one step ahead of Cage and vice versa.
My question is, do the Omegas and the alphas remember everything when Cage resets it?
No.
No. Okay. So essentially he's stolen the power.
Yes.
Okay. So he has the upper hand.
Yeah.
Over these things. Yeah. Great. Okay. So the hero lady, explains that she also used to have this power because she also killed an alpha and it happened to her. And that is how she became the hero lady of this one battle, is because she did it over and over and over again, you know, essentially getting really far in that level, kind of like a, a video game. So she was able to kill a lot of the mimics, got really far, and was able to defeat, you know, and win that battle for the humans, and then thus named the hero lady. But she was injured on the very last, she was injured and needed a blood transfusion. And when she had the blood transfusion, she lost that power to
reset the
time loop. Yeah. So she understands what's going on. She starts to train Mr. Cage because he's not very good at military things and she's a super badass. So she starts to train him, and that's also a funny scene where he dies a lot in the training. It's crazy hard training, and even if he got injured, she would just walk up and shoot him. And they did have to make that part kind of funny because, you know, he's just dying over and over again.
Yeah. And this is just training. He's not even going out, you know. This is still day one, basically. You know, he doesn't even make it to the next day of the actual battle for who knows how long.
Yeah. So the scientist guy lets them know that if you kill the Omega, like the main important alien thing, that it will end the invasion.
Yes.
It will stop all the mimics, kind of like chopping off the head of the snake kind of a thing. They discover that the Omega is in France. Some stuff happens.
Yeah.
We'll skip over that.
Yeah, totally.
So they discover that the Omega is in the Louvre at France.
So real quickly, what steps up the timeline too is how he finds out is he starts to have visions, and those visions are part because the Omega's on to him. And
they have like a psychic connection or something.
Yeah. Now, after a while, the Omega, though they can't really do anything about it, becomes aware that they've lost the power to reset the day. And so it starts to search for Cage and find him. So they find out it's in France, and then they just keep, now she's part of the level two, and they just keep getting farther and farther and farther.
And they just keep trying again. They get closer and closer to France. They figure out a bunch of stuff. But Cage gets injured and has to get a blood transplant and can't loop all of a sudden. So now the stakes are really high towards the end of the movie, but they're closer to the Louvre. They get the help of J-Squad to help them kind of do this final attack.
He's able to convince them because he's looped so much. He
knows a lot about
him. He knows everything about him, yeah. So he's able to make them believers.
I'm skipping ahead, but spoiler alert, Lady Hero gets killed.
Aww.
Yep. Cage blows up the Omega with a bomb thing. Everything resets and the war is over and it all goes back to normal before the whole D-Day battle thing happened, and Lady Hero's still alive.
Yay! So
I know I skipped over a bunch. I tried to make that one shorter.
Yeah, no, it's all just anything we skipped over is just them retrying and getting farther. And so when he blows up the Omega at the end, it basically causes a 48-hour reboot. Why?
I don't know.
Do you?
I mean, there's a moment where he blows it up, but then the blood goes over him again. Like he's kind of.
Oh, that's right. They do show the Omega blood
on him.
Yeah, that's right. So I guess that would make sense if the Alpha causes a 24-hour. Then, if we're gonna buy that theory, which we have for watching this movie, then the Omega is gonna cause a larger. I'm trying to remember the very end. Because the first time he's on this plane, he's going in to just make a sales pitch, basically. And then he gets hit over the head and drug into battle. But what happens when he gets, are they just like...
They're just announcing that the war is over and that they've won.
Oh, that's right. Because now that the Omega isn't controlling them, no one's really of the wiser. They just feel like we're getting the upper hand and we're making this. Because I bet there's probably still alphas and betas out there. They just don't have the big brain, the reset type of situation.
It made it seem like if these mimics did not have the ability to reset time, they wouldn't have had a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was their kind of
No more of a chance. It would have been a fair fight.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be this massive slaughter that every battle was.
Yeah.
Up until this point. This is one of those movies that I, you know, time travel aside and loving that, like, I'm so interested in the mimics more, and I would love to see the prequel to learn more about the mimics and how they.
Why did they call them mimics? Do you remember?
Because I looked this up a little bit, because their ability to mimic military strategy, and probably, I mean, because they have the ability of time travel, like every time you take one step left, they take one step left. They just basically mirror your actions in order to get the upper hand. So I think it's something that is explored more.
That makes sense. Book. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, there was other things. I think in the book they talk about how I think it crash landed in the ocean, and it actually, the first creature it came in contact with, I think may have been an octopus or something. And I think it kind of fused with that. And they kind of, I may be speaking out of school, but I feel like I read, it was one of those dumb things. I just didn't even question it. Just like, yeah, they're called mimics, whatever. And then Kelly and Will were like, why are they called mimics? It's weird. And so I did a little bit of research on it. I got exhausted watching just imagining the daily ritual of having to escape his squad and having to sneak into Emily Blunt's practice and convince her every day, just exhausted. Just like in Groundhog Day, like I imagined myself just sneaking away with a bottle of tequila more days than not.
Yeah, I'm sure there were days where he's just like, I don't want to do this. I'm staying in my bed. If they throw me in jail for not getting on the plane to this battle, fine.
And I'll just hang myself in my cell.
Yeah, I'll just sit in this cell till I don't want anymore, and then I'll kill myself. I'm sure there were those days.
Yeah, because they show him sneaking off once for a beer, but they kind of allude to the idea that this isn't his first time, because I don't think I realized until this watch that that's like during the battle.
Yeah.
Like while his squad and all the squads are getting slaughtered on the beach, he's sitting in a pub with a bunch of old timers.
I mean, that part is at least, you know, within the first hours of him waking up after the reset. Think about the ones where he got really far with her, you know, out into the farmland of Europe, and then something happened, and then having to reset however long that took.
Yeah.
That must have been the more exhausting.
Yeah. Just like, oh, we almost made it. Yeah. And I've been in those video game levels, those 45 minute levels, and I'm almost there. So frustrating. So I don't know. We maybe covered this. What do you think about this movie in general?
I liked this movie, you know, even I liked it the second time. I liked it more the second time when I saw it, even though I'm not big into video games and shoot 'em up games. I really liked this movie. It was well done. You know, it was entertaining. It did have the humor. It had a little bit of the love story slightly, and all around pretty entertaining movie.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of Edge of Tomorrow : Live, Die, Repeat. This one was kind of short, If you want to know more about this whole repeat, repeat thing, check out our episode on Groundhog's Day, where we dig into that general concept a little bit deeper. Stay tuned to social media for ongoing discussions about episodes and a heads up on what film is coming up next in case you would like to play along. You can find us at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. And our Time Pop specific feeds are at TPOP9216. Please feel free to email us directly with questions and comments on wesoundawesome@gmail.com. Don't be shy if you're catching up on old episodes. We would still love to hear new thoughts on old shows. And definitely let us know about a movie you would like to hear us discuss on a future entry. And also check out whatsoundsawesome.com to hear what else sounds awesome. Something else that's going to be sounding awesome very soon is a new podcast called All the Answers. I'm just going to leave it at that. It is starring Katie and Cassidy, and they have all the answers. It's a great new show. They are two awesome people that have great things to talk about. They get a little bit deep in a very fun way. If you want to check them out, go to the social medias at All Answers Pod, at All Answers Pod, and you may be highlighted in one of these early episodes that we will start releasing sometime in March. Ari and Dez will be back in 2 weeks with a new Time Pop, but if you would enjoy another fun film discussion, tune into Rotten Popcorn next Wednesday, starring Scott and Dez. The concept of Rotten Popcorn is we pick a movie that has a vast difference in critics and audience ratings. Sometimes the critics love, sometimes the audience love, and vice versa. And we like to kind of go back and forth. So next week we're doing Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which the critics did not get into, but the fans loved. And that is a very interesting episode. It was very interesting to watch that movie with a critical eye. It's a movie I have personally enjoyed in the past, but have never really critically watched it. It's always just been kind of a fun ride. And that'll be a great episode because the following Rotten Popcorn, we will flip the script on Johnny Depp and we will do something that the critics loved and the fans didn't get into. So take your guesses at what movie that might be. And now back to the big finish. So though this would be an interesting power, we'll just call it a power, and exhausting if you had to do something like a battle every day. This isn't like a Sunday. This isn't Super Bowl Sunday. Would you?
Yes.
But. But.
There's a but?
There's a but. You're always going to reset to that exact. So this isn't like Groundhog Day where you just do whatever and you're gonna wake up. This one, you could live for weeks, months, years. And then if you die, you're going back.
To that specific
to that
point.
Day.
Is that the way it worked in this movie or was it just 24 hours?
No, because he always woke up at that exact moment.
No matter how much time had passed.
Yeah.
But they talked about that the mimic's power was able to go 24 hours in the past.
They don't talk about it.
They don't say
I just feel like that the first time it happens, I feel like it was a 24-hour reboot. And then he just kind of gets stuck at that moment, because even when he goes out into the farmland, you know, I mean in theory he got there kind of late at night, and I don't think he comes back to the base the previous night.
Yeah,
I think he always wakes up.
I wonder if that's how the mimic's power also worked. When they reset to a specific time, and what determines that time, and what determined this time that when he woke up. I understand it's just for the story's sake, but why that moment where he woke up after being knocked out is the reset time.
That's why I feel, and I think it works out to 24 hours. I think from when he dies the first time in battle to the previous morning, I would think that the mimics, since it's a different alpha that might be triggering the reset, that it's always, because the alpha doesn't need the time like Tom Cruise does to train, convince Emily Blunt. Like if he reset, well, no, I guess that would work. I was going to say, you know, if he reset, you know, 24 hours before, maybe he was like on the drop ship, that might kind of screw him, but I guess that wouldn't really matter. But I feel like, yeah, which whenever an alpha dies, I feel like, because the in theory, the mimics really only need to go back 10 minutes, you know, since they're such a giant organism and every time something dies, they just need to get the upper hand on that exact situation and they don't really need to reset the whole battle again.
So if it was, if I had this power and it was resetting for 24 hours, I would absolutely use it. But if it was resetting to a specific day, I would not reuse it. Because if let's say, you've lived years and you're like, oh, I want to reset, but I got to go back 5 years in the past, I would not.
This person I fell in love with, I got to convince them that I'm a good person again.
I mean, unless there was something major, like somebody was dying or something super tragic was happening, I probably would not use it. But if it was...
If it's someone else, that's just your timeline.
Yeah.
So... do you think there's multiple timelines in this?
You mean every time he resets, is it a new timeline?
Yeah.
Could be. I think I will choose to have it just be the same timeline resetting.
Because I'm just imagining how many Emily Blunts are in the brig from shooting a fellow private in the head during a training montage. This one feels like, I mean, they don't really lead into it, you know, it's all about Tom Cruise. So it's all about his main timeline. But I feel like this could be a multiple timeline.
Would you use this power if you had it?
Same with you. If it's 24 hours ago, no matter when I die, I use it constantly. I get the upper hand on every day and I win all the time.
I mean, you could play the lottery. You would be so rich. The things you could do with this, you would run the world.
Yeah. Yeah. You would appear to have superpowers. No, I would parkour everywhere. But you would have to carry a gun on you at all times. I mean, again, if we're playing in this world where a blood transfusion ruins it all. But yeah, I think I feel the same way as you. Like, yeah, but if I reset, I mean, if you're always going to reset to whatever today is, January 29th, 2020, then it becomes more of a curse than a blessing when you're just like, oh, I accidentally died again. Like, you're basically a vampire at that point. Again, that's where having a family, you know, if you're a loner out in the woods, like, who cares? Whatever, do it again.
Yeah.
But when you got loved ones and responsibilities, this seems like a pain in the ass. So yeah, Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat. Hopefully they'll do Live, Die, Repeat, Repeat, which is in, I thought it was farther along because I've been hearing rumors about that for a long time. And for some reason, I thought it was coming out this summer. And I looked it up again last night and it's a rumor at best. But I think... It'll hopefully they'll do it. I think it'll be interesting. Yeah, this one's just so straightforward. We're done. Thank you, Ari.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a great day. Thank you out there for listening. Until next time, this is Desmond McNeese.
And Ariel Gala. Bye.
Live, Die, Repeat, 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 Repeat.